last week was an introduction. And the introduction was the following. We spoke rather extensively, for those who are with us, about the idea that this whole prohibition of taking medicine on Shabbos is a gzeira d'rabbanan. And the gzeira d'rabbanan, the rabbis were afraid lest a person come to grind spices or grind roots or things of that nature in order to administer medicine on Shabbos. So we spoke about the idea that even though nowadays nobody grinds anything on Shabbos for medicinal purposes, nonetheless, the Gzeira, the decree, is still in place. And we talked about that, that that's unfortunately one of the limits of living in the exile and not having unity and not getting along with one another, that unfortunately we're in a situation where we don't have the ability to create a basin, to create a court that could rescind a Gzeira of an earlier court. I think everybody would agree that if we could only agree that we're not worried about grinding things on Shabbos, but we said that this is really what Rabbinic Judaism is all about, that the Rabbanan had the ability to make that gezeira, they had the ability to make that decree, and that decree became binding, that they had, in a sense, the ability to determine the will of God in a very real way, and to shape what Judaism was all about. We also saw the Rambam. The Rambam says, and he says it explicitly, really no and, ifs, ands, or buts, about the idea. We saw the Rambam that said that when a Beit Din makes a gezeira, makes a decree, no other Beit Din can rescind that gezeira unless it's bigger in chachma and minyan. It's bigger in numbers and in wisdom. And we don't have that today, so therefore all the halachot that exist vis-a-vis regarding hilchot refuah, the laws of healing, all those halachot apply today. So I'm going to give you a few general rules, a few general principles, and we're going to see how they apply to the potpourri of medical paraphernalia you see in front of you, from Desinex foot and sneaker deodorant to Mylanta to Motrin and everything in between. What can you use on Shabbos and what can you not use on Shabbos? And it turns out the answer is it depends on the situation. Okay? So the Rambam has defined four, generally, I would call them four, maybe five categories of types of people who are sick. Let me just find my note. Okay, I left my notes in my office, so all I'm going to have to do is go by memory. Okay. The first type of sick person is someone who is a chole sheyesh bo sakana. A chole means someone who is sick, sheyesh bo sakana. What is sakana?
Danger.
What is the halacha of a chole? What does that mean, that they're in danger? What are they in danger of?
Dying.
Correct. What is the halacha of a chole sheyesh bo sakana? Okay. That is true, but I want to qualify and equivocate. It doesn't mean you have to violate the Shabbos. It means one is permitted to violate the Shabbos in a case where that's necessary. Sometimes doctors think, well, I'm a doctor, and therefore I can do basically everything. I can do anything. And it's not true. You have to remember that it's still Shabbos, and you still have a halachot that apply to you, and where you're in situations where you have to worry about where you have life-saving issues, then you have permission to violate the Shabbos. But it's not a carte blanche to go ahead and do everything you need. And it's a good recommendation for a doctor who's going to be Shomer Shabbos. There are a lot of situations that come up that they have to be aware of beforehand, and deal with them beforehand and know how to deal with them in ways that are shinoi, that are using abnormal ways of doing things, etc., etc. It's interesting, when I talked to a postdoc of mine, he said he doesn't like to pass any doctor questions. Because it's very hard, because you're put in difficult situations, and they're very, very difficult situations to sort of get out of. You know, what do you say to somebody who's in medical school, in third year medical school, and they tell them, you know, you have to do such and such. And you know that in third year medical school, you don't have to do anything, because, you know, nothing you do, they're not going to let you do anything anyway. Or even first year residency, they tell you to do things that, do you have to write it down on the chart? Don't you have to write it down on the chart? So it's important for doctors and probably nurses also, if you have Shabbos duties that you have to do, that you be aware of what you can and cannot do. And it does get rather complicated. But pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. Danger of life is docha Shabbos. Let's push off Shabbos. So if someone's life is in danger, You do what you got to do. You immediately, without any hesitation, equivocation whatsoever. I'm just going to read you from the Shulchan Aruch you have from last week. Okay, then that's good. And if you don't have, I mean, source number two from last week. If you don't have it, I'll just read it to you. Shulchan Aruch says, "Mishiyesh lo choli shel sakana." Someone who has an injury or a sickness of danger, mitzvah lechalil alav es haShabbos. It's not that you can. It's a mitzvah. You have to violate the Shabbos. The hazaris harezeh mesubach. Someone who is zari, someone who is quick, that's praiseworthy. Gee, listen to what I'm about to tell you. V'hashoel, and if you ask, harezeh shofech damim. You are a murderer. Okay? So now, you're in a situation, someone was, God forbid, hit by a car and they're lying unconscious on the ground. You say to yourself, well, doesn't look like there are any internal injuries from here. So should I make the phone call, or should I go knock on my guy's neighbor's door and ask him to make the phone call? Okay? That's not a good idea. I highly recommend against that. You know, if you're not sure, the rule generally is, when in doubt, do what you got to do, and worry about it afterwards. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara are very, very explicit about this. They say, let's say, for example, two people, one person went to go, you know, get a medicine, to go get a life-saving thing or whatever. They went to their house. And you think you could go drive faster than they drove. You have to do that. And if you didn't go faster, that's still okay. You're still in good shape. You did what you're supposed to do. So I think it's very important to state, Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos, and emphatically so. And I think you can't get any more emphatic than Hashoel, Harez HaShofech Damin.
I wish we had known that 3 weeks ago.
What do you mean?
In our circumstance.
I know. The guy was tell the story.
Well, the guy was choking at the Shevet Brach.
At the Shevet Brach, that's right.
It was a shul that had no telephone, which is already it.
And which is an interesting question in itself.
Well, they're taking care of that. So, because the owner of the shul didn't want to phone the shul and said, I'm almost home. So a whole group of people went to get him so that they could call Hatzolah. Meanwhile, my wife had it. Carries her cell phone with her all the time, and you know, the smoke soldier.
Whatever, we can argue that at another time.
And,
they told her not to use it?
No, no, she came to me and said, I got a phone. And so I went, when we found out that they hadn't gotten in touch with the guy, then Harry, my wife, gave the phone to one of the guys to call Hatzolah. Now, based on what you said, she should have immediately given someone to call Hatzolah.
Right, I mean, you know, there were other mitigating circumstances, but he died. Yeah, he died.
And that's in spite of his son being, the chassan being one of the big...
This was Shevet Brach of his son. It's really like a bad story. Very bad. Yeah. So, when in doubt, when in any doubt, you know, make the phone call. Pretty pretty bad.
More than 4 minutes to get there.
How long? Hatzolah?
Well,
Hatzolah is quick.
It wasted 4 minutes trying to get a hold of him.
Trying to get a phone.
Right, and then they came. But there were people there who already started CPR, which... whether they should have been doing that or not. But
anyway, okay. So, I mean, I'm sure the doctors and the nurses here know that, especially they say, heart attacks especially, they say that your rate of survival depends, it is directly related to the response time of the medical personnel. Directly related. So, obviously, the faster, the better. And every second counts. So, you know, we who are so ingrained and so trained not to violate the Shabbos, you have to immediately turn that switch off and go, you know, the opposite way.
Something like a person
with
3 children
were
born on Shabbos.
Thank you.
I have one born on Yom Kippur.
My three children were, but again, my 3 children were born on Shabbos. The husband has the ability, has the actually obligation of riding in the car. Why do I ride in the car? Because a woman who is in labor is considered, without a doubt, a chol yeshbo sakana, person whose life is in danger, and her mental well-being is very much influences how successful the birth will be. And so her husband's presence is considered necessary and very important for that process, for the birth. At the same time, though, when we got to the hospital, they took her up in the elevator. She was not in stair-climbing condition, but I had no right to take the elevator. I could climb the four flights of steps, or right, whatever it was. So you have to remember that. There's a give and take. You do what you have to do.
And once she's taken care of,
right, then you don't.
You don't have to.
Correct, exactly.
So even if the elevator is going up anyhow, you couldn't step into it?
Not necessarily.
They have places with elevators.
Correct, but in Beaumont, but it's not a matter of stopping it up before also, because the way elevators are made, to the best of my ability, the elevator exerts pressure based on the amount of weight in the elevator itself. So not only do you have to have something that stops on every floor, according to many post scheme, you have to have a special elevator built for that as well. So if I could walk, there's no reason not to walk.
Did her welfare count in the elevator?
She could wait a minute. She wasn't in labor like, no, she didn't walk, so she got a ride. She got a ride. I didn't make her walk. I remember clearly. I don't need to tell the story. Okay. It's good to know what to do. If you're in labor, it's good. If you're pregnant, if you're expecting, it's good to know what to do in advance to prepare for going into labor on Shabbos. Okay. So that's Cholesh Yeshbo Sakana. That's level one. Level two, the next level down is sakanat eder, a person whose limb is in danger. Okay? Now sometimes you can decide a person whose limb is in danger, but their body is not in danger. So there's a classification like that. For example, a child falls and they break their arm on Shabbos. So if you don't set the arm, it could very well be very dangerous. In fact, most people, unless you have a doctor on site, the post-game right, unless you're like a physician and you know that it can wait, they say that you should take care of it right away because it could be very dangerous. The child could, God forbid, go into shock. You don't know what happened internally. It could be very, very dangerous. So again, most people treat sakanat eiver, if one limb is in danger, they treat that like sakanat gufo, unless you know alternatively. For example, a child could fracture their arm. And, you know, we have a doctor around the block. I'm sure he gets a lot of people coming to him all the time. We have a pediatrician. You know, everybody goes to them all the time. And you could say it's broken. But, you know, you could put it in a sling and hold on. And you could wait till after Shabbos. And no, doctors can make that decision. In fact, very often you get to the emergency room and what happens? They make you wait till after Shabbos anyway. Yeah, sure. Very often. I mean, when's the last time you were in the emergency room? Right? They can make you wait hours and hours. You know, they can just make you wait forever. Why? Because you, on the triage tree, you're not a high priority. It's not considered to be dangerous. You know, so it all depends. It's interesting. I have a doctor in another shiur of mine who recently went to Israel for a medical halakha seminar. So he said, what do you do in the following case? Halakha, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Gemara very often defines certain cases as life-threatening. Certain ailments of the eye, certain issues like that. So what do you do when the Gemara defines an eye ailment as being life-threatening, but nowadays we really don't treat it life-threatening at all? Do you violate the Shabbos or not? I was looking in the Shmir Shabbos Teil Chasher. This is a very, very well-known book written by Rabbi Neuberg. We're going to read for much of it. It's translated to English as well. And he says that if the Gemara defines it as life-threatening, then one is obligated to violate the Shabbos for that ailment as well. But, you know, sometimes it's a gray area. Sometimes, you know, like a person, for example, it needs surgery right away. So say, we're going to put you into emergency surgery. So very often, though, you'll notice this, right? They go to emergency surgery. What does the doctor go do? He goes to lunch. Am I wrong?
A lot of times.
Right. It needs to be done, but does it need to be done right now? What? What do you do? But it happens all the time nowadays. That very often something has to be done right now, but the doctor is willing to let it wait a few hours. It's not going to be emergency. It's not an emergency appendectomy. It's going to break any burst any minute. So you very often have cases where the doctors have to, you know, he has to decide as a doctor, is it really an emergency or is it something that if it waited, it really wouldn't make a difference one way or another? It's a good question. That's something that big rabbis have to decide about. Okay, next category. Category number three is chola she'en bo sakana. Okay, a chola that does not have any in any danger whatsoever. Okay? And the category after that, category number four, it's good to know these categories. Category number four is someone who is char gadol, someone in great pain, but you're walking around. And finally, the last one is called mechush be'alma. So then we're going to go back around the other way. Mechush be'alma means just a person in some pain. This is the most common kind of thing that we normally find. Mechush be'alma is the following. You can define this.
Do they include psychological? Someone's put on a psychoactive drug for depression or something like that.
We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that in a second. Nechush be'alma means a person has a certain pain, certain localized pain, and it would not cause him to lie down. It would not cause him to be incapacitated. So can somebody give me an example of that?
Yeah, headache.
Mild headache.
Or a toothache.
A cold. A toothache. A rash. basically all the most of the things we, you know, a lot of the stuff we take. Sudafed, Allegra G, over the counter medicines for. Okay, so the Chazal, the Gzeira of Refuah, applies universally to Mechosh Be'alma. Okay, which means if you have a mild headache, one is not permitted to take Motrin to alleviate that headache on Shabbos. Because you're walking around, it just hurts you a little bit, it's a little bit annoying. You have the sniffles, one is not permitted to take medicine for to alleviate a Mechosh Be'alma. And I looked, and there's no heter that I could find at all. This seems to be a very universally applied halacha to mechosh be'alma. So headache, cold, you know, all the stuff that we take a bazillion medications for, and some could argue that probably too often we're over-medicated, one is not permitted to take medicine. Moreover, one is also not permitted to do medical acts for that, such as... Give me an example. What would you do for a headache?
If I have a headache, sometimes I have like this cold pillow kind of thing.
Oh, an eye pillow. Okay. So could you do that?
Herbs in it.
Really?
Yeah. So since it's not internal, it's external.
No, that's medicinal. You could use the eye pillow without the herbs. It's a very good example. Does it work?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to try that.
Lay down in a dark room.
Right. So now, could I lie down in a dark room to alleviate the pain? Is that considered medicinal? So the halacha said, no, you're right. Because there are things that aren't permitted that are considered derech bryim, things that normal, healthy people do in a normal way, lie down, cover your eyes, you know what I'm saying? That you could certainly do. What?
Without
the medicines, right? Yes, derech bryim, light massage, yes. Now, there are two types of massage. There's a massage that somebody gives you to sort of, you know, break the tension. That's a normal thing. But then I have a sister who's an occupational therapist. Sometimes the therapist will give very deep massages that are medical. So to take a deep body massage, you cannot schedule your massage with Sven, your masseuse, on Shabbos. Even though you say, Rabbi, what am I doing? He's just rubbing my body, you know, and it feels good and it makes me healthier. The answer is that was considered a jera because of refuah. Other things you couldn't do. You could not use a medicated powder because it has medicine and it's used for medicinal reasons. But at the same time, this is a good example, one could use pure baby cornstarch with the aloe and vitamin E. That's not medicine. That's nothing. Does it? Aloe and vitamin E in your.
We're talking topical.
What is it? No, we're not talking topical. They say I don't. Do you consider this medicated powder? No, I'm asking you. Is it? What? Right. This is a medicated powder.
Right.
This is not a medicated powder. What?
But my herbal.
No, but this is what you're treating with.
This you're using. This is what normal people do. You know what they use this for? This is used. No. This is used for one reason. This is used to absorb moisture. Right. This is used as medicine.
It says.
And those are very different things.
But you don't need the vitamin E to absorb moisture.
Your skin absorbs moisture. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe with the vitamin E, the aloe and the vitamin E. All right, so get plain talcum powder. Plain talcum powder or cornstarch would be okay. But maybe not with aloe and vitamin E.
It's a way to get.
We're not talking about babies.
Yeah.
I'll bet you're off the babies. But again, you have a rash. It's just a plain rash. Don't want to talk about it. Right, exactly. Which is why babies are totally different. Correct. Babies are very different. But the answer is no, because it does exacerbate itself. So I'm specifically not talking about babies. Baby care is an entirely different category altogether, especially when it comes to health. Something, a regular temperature for you and me, you know, I think I have a fever. So I think I have a fever, big deal. You know, what are you going to do? You're either going to take Tylenol or not take Tylenol. What?
Oh, that's what the question is.
So let me ask you, why would an adult check their temperature?
Because they feel.
What?
Because they feel febrile.
And therefore, what's the difference going to be? I was just trying to figure out, what would the difference be? Right, so then why would you be able to take your temperature? Right, the only time I was, what?
No, there's certain. If you're over a certain amount.
Good, right, remember the rule. The rule, right, remember the rule. The rule is, if you don't know if you're in Sakana,
right.
All bets are off. Right. But again, why do we normally take our temperature? I want to see if I have temperature. Like, if you feel sick, if I feel sick, I'm going to take Tylenol whether I know I have temperature or I don't. I just need to know whether I should take off from work or not. But when should you... I was thinking, so therefore, you know, I'm not talking about babies now, but why would you take... Let's see, what kind is this? No, not that kind. Okay. Why would you take your temperature? Because you really want to know. When would a person need to take their temperature? If you have a fever, you know you have a fever. You've taken 3 Motrin, right? And it still hasn't gone down. So then you're in danger already. And it's, if you're burning up, then you really need to know. Then you got to start taking your temperature. And the best way to do it is probably not electronically. Again, is to do it with a Shinoi. This is, I think, the most usual, the most normal way of doing it. And if you could do it in an abnormal way, under the arm, please. I don't have to explain that to you.
That change color. What about the stuff that changes?
I'd rather use this.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's better to use this because of color changing issues, you know, changing because of heat, and then this might be an issue of sylvia, of coloring things even temporarily. I never asked about that. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting question. Somebody called me over once and asked me, can you use this Thermacare heat wrap? Mm-hmm. Right? So can somebody explain to me how this works? You open it up. You open it up. I need a nurse. You open it up.
I'm a pharmacist.
Oh, pharmacist, excellent. You sell this stuff.
Yeah.
You open this up, and what happens?
It's heat
activated. Open the pouch. Well, how does it get hot? Well, as soon as you open it, you put it in water.
The air hits it.
How hot does it get?
Warm enough that if you had backache, you had back pain, spasm.
Not more than 112 degrees, though.
No.
I don't know. It's a chemical. It's a chemical reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting thing. Somebody called me right before Shabbos. Those are the hardest questions. Literally, 5 minutes before Shabbos. So you know what you do when somebody calls you 5 minutes before Shabbos? Nah.
Yeah.
You call a rabbi in a later time zone.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. Because at least they're not, because you'll reach them. Otherwise, you know. So I called another rabbi, and he didn't know what to tell me. I called somebody in Chicago. But, you know, if I needed to, I would call California. The question is, what do you do if you're in California?
You're
what? There aren't that many rabbis in Hawaii. You're pretty much stuck. In Hawaii? Great. Okay. Based on all this information, let's now look at page 1. Okay. This is the Shmir Shabbos Nehilchasa, chapter 34. And I think it's important to go through in order, and you can follow along in your English, chapter 34. Okay? Mechushim, it's titled. You need more? What do you need, English or Hebrew? What? Here's one of these, and one of those. Okay? Mechushim, which is called Mikshas Choli, says that the Shemir Shabbos, and the reason I quoted the Shemir Shabbos is because the Shulchan Aruch, it follows the order of the Tur, which follows the order of the Gemara. And it's not organized in a way that's easy to follow. So I decided to pick something that's even later in order to really give a good feel for it. So it says the Shemir Shabbos, Kol ha-ke'evim ha-kalim, all mild ailments, kagon, like ke'ev shinayim, toothache, ke'ev garon, sore throat, ke'ev rosh, headache, v'chei nazelet is a runny nose, v'shi'ul, what is shi'ul, diarrhea? Diarrhea. Shiul, what's shiul? No, shiul is, shiul I think is expectoration, no? So who's got the English? Here we are. Cough. Yeah, cough. That's a sophisticated way of saying it. I was in the YU pool, they had a sign that says one not allowed to expectorate in the pool. There's only one problem. I'm sure nobody knew what it meant. Okay. Dina Mikhlab Parakazah, the rules are in this chapter, as it will explain later on. Ubedinim Eile, on these rules, Ein Havdel Ben Shabbat Le Yom Tov, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Ulinyan Yom Tov, Shein Yishel Galiot, the second day of Yom Tov. In America, or in South America, wherever, look at the chapter 31, etc. Bet, number 2. B'chol ha-ke'evim, on all these pains, yesh v'havdil ben ke'ev kal u'ben ke'ev chazak yoter, between a light pain and a heavier pain, ha-goreim le-ke'evo shi'yishkav o ha-machalish et kol gufo. Meaning, is the pain light, mild, or is the pain such a pain that you would lie down because of it, or it's something that really spreads to your entire body? Okay? V'shivugam talui b'mizgos shel kol echad v'echad. So you can't ask me that question. You're going to say, Rabbi, can I take this medicine? The answer is, how do you feel? I can't tell you. The answer, the question is, yes, and you have to be honest with yourself. If you say, I got a headache, you know, and it's okay, that's fine. But if you're a person that doesn't do well with mild headaches, and you really can't function, then that's considered kol gufo. It really depends on each person individually. Me personally, the headache, unless it's really bad, you just sort of deal with it and you move on. And it's not pleasant, but that gzeira of refuah is there, and therefore you can't take stuff. So gimel, number three.
It could be caffeine withdrawal.
What?
It could be caffeine withdrawal.
So that's a...
open a few days.
When, on Shabbos? If you think it's caffeine withdrawal, you're allowed to take a drink, a cup of coffee, you think, and alleviate that problem? What would you say?
I don't know.
What?
No,
that's for sure you could, because that's Derech Bereim. Everybody drinks coffee on Shabbos. So therefore, doing something that normal people do, even if you're doing it for a reason, that would not be a problem. So, example, a person has a sore throat. What do you do? What?
Stop smoking.
What do you do? You gargle. Well, gargle with salt. With salt water, probably you could. Best thing to do is tea with honey.
Don't forget the whiskey.
He mentions that actually. Rabbi Ribbiat in his book.
Never heard any.
Yeah, don't ask about that. Rabbi Ribbiat in his book. He talks about that. He talks about the different ways of. The different ways of doing things that are considered derech bereim. So he says, one second, drinking wine or whiskey to relax one's nerves or relieve pain. There you go.
That's okay.
One is permitted to drink wine or moderate amounts of any alcoholic beverage to calm his nerves or induce drowsiness.
So there is some truth to that. I only drink for medicinal purposes.
Yeah, right. Which is medicinal. You can't do anything.
He does add, though, one is not permitted to drink in any type of kiddush club or shul event.
Oh.
I made that up. I wasn't. But I digress. Okay. So we're in Gimel, number three. Hakoev ke'ev kal asur lo, a kal, if someone who has a light pain like that, asur lo latachat shum trufa. And this is across the board. I couldn't find anybody who argues on this. It's one that you can't take any medicine. To go on glulot, like pills or drops. Oh, v'chein asur lo legargar. He's not allowed to gargle either, because gargling is considered a medicinal thing. People don't gargle normally. I don't know. Do people gargle their mouthwash? Yeah? So that would be permitted because you're not doing it for medicinal purposes. You're doing it so you don't smell bad. Right? And that's something that normal people would do. What? Right. So that's not a problem. But he's saying, like, gargling salt water. Again, what's medicinal about salt water? You're doing it for medicinal purposes. Once a guy who had... Well, I won't even say it's great. Okay. V'chein asur, you can't gargle. V'akoyev ke'ev chazak yotir. But if it gets a little more painful... Because of that, he has to lie down. Or if the pain is so much, sometimes you get a headache, and it really is throbbing in such a way, not a migraine. A migraine is for sure, because I've never had a migraine. I don't know, anybody have migraines?
Very seldom.
Yeah? So that's debilitating, from what I understand. It's just debilitating. So that's kola kogu, that's a person who's... who is chola she'en bo sakana, you can certainly take medicine. But even if you're at the point where you feel it, it's really such a point where it's really affecting your whole body, you go ke'ev rosh chazak, like a very bad headache. Harei yesh lo din, so you see this with these words, chola she'en bo sakana, see those words, chola she'en bo sakana, that's a halachic category, umutar lo lakacha trufot, and at that point one would be permitted to take medicines. I am sure, because I know this for myself, until I started learning these halachot more carefully, this is a very not known area of halacha. And somebody came up to me last week and said, I heard that if it affects your oneg Shabbos, that you're permitted to take medicine. And so I asked the posek of mine, have you ever heard that? And he said, no. You've never heard such a thing. Not legitimately. It's one of those things that we tell each other that isn't true.
Would this be a test? If you had the same headache and it wasn't Shabbos, would you take aspirin?
No.
No.
That would not be a test, because I would take if I had a headache, I had a mild headache, I would take Tylenol right away,
yeah.
Right?
What about someone who's like that? This is very subjective, and the person's going to have to, every person's going to have to make their own distinction.
Correct.
They're going to go knock on the rabbi's door.
No, that's exactly what you said. Everybody, you have to make their own decision.
So it's subjective, and you have a person who has a very high limit of...
a low level of threshold of pain.
A high threshold, and you have someone who's kind of a hypochondriac.
Right.
You know, like the worst, you know, when you get to the hospital and in triage, they ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the level of pain?
30, right.
Yeah. No matter what.
Right. Right.
My favorite picture is I've had babies, so this is like a negative 2.
Yeah, but I didn't ask you, is it like childbirth? Right? What did I ask you?
But the point
I asked you, would you lie down for this? If you couldn't take medicine, would you go lie down? I'm not saying, are you a martyr? Some people are like, I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to make it, you know. Good for you. You do that. You know? Yeah, Yom Kippur is hard. But that's something that Steve told, that Steve mentioned also. People are addicted to caffeine. If you're used to 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day, Yom Kippur will...
That's right.
2 weeks, that's right. You got to know. That's right. You know? Otherwise, you got those caffeine suppositories ready for Yom Kippur. The caffeine patch, right? I should invent that. It's like a caffeine patch for Yom Kippur.
I thought I was bad when it comes to coffee.
What? On Yom Kippur, probably, right. No, but then if you have to lie down. But let's say you have to lie down on Yom Kippur, right? So then the medicinal aspect...
Lie down on Yom Kippur.
No, you're in such pain. This is common. People have really throbbing headaches on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So then the medicinal would be permitted, but the eating would not be permitted.
Right?
Because right? Your life is not in danger. So in theory... What?
So you're saying you could put a pants on?
Probably, why not?
What if someone's blood sugar goes down?
Oh, danger. No. Okay. Someone who's a diabetic? No way, right?
So you're not a diabetic, but you're hypoglycemic and you're...
Is it you're clinically hypoglycemic? Meaning your blood sugar went down, you know what I would tell you? Drink a glass of orange juice.
Right.
That's medicinal? No, that's derech abriyim, and it's a very good way of bringing your blood sugar right back up. So, you know, what else are you going to do? It's not going to give you anything. Right? Someone told me that his son was in a car accident, he was hypoglycemic, and he was in a car accident, and he woke up, like, you know, on the side of the road, like, you know, and they said, are you diabetic? And then they gave him juice or whatever it was, and, you know, he came to. It's a very scary thing. So you have, if you are like that, you have to be aware of that. But it's not a medicine, it's just apple juice. Keep cookies with you. Right. Okay. What do we have to do? Dali. Okay. Afshi ne'emar, even though we said, b'she'iv ka'kodem, in the previous paragraph, sha'ko'ev ke'ev ka'al asur lo lakachat shum tufa, you're not allowed to take any medicine, nonetheless, hare mutar lo le'echol ma'chal b'ri'im. Remember I talked about that category of derech b'ri'im. One is permitted to eat a food that makes you healthy. Sha'asui l'raf oto. That's going to be made to make you healthy. V'lachain, therefore, hachash begrono, your throat hurts, mutar lo le'achol dvash. Drink some honey. Olishtot chalav merav dvash. Honey milk. Does that really work?
Yeah.
Honey milk, I don't know. Yeah. Chocolate milk. V'chein mutar lo limtos sukariot. You can suck on candies. But he says, what kind of candies can you suck? Regular, not cough drops. Not medicinal cough drops. You say, well, it's just a cough drop. What's the matter with it? That's not permitted. Skip the parentheses. Mutar lo le'echol limon. You're allowed to eat a lemon. Or l'shochto al gabe sukar ul ochlo. Squeeze it on sugar and eat that. V'af limtsoch b'piv et limon. Or you can even suck the lemon. Right, suck the lemon. Yes, only onto food. You can squeeze a lemon onto food, like onto fish. Okay? Because it's considered, lemon juice is considered a condiment to food and not a drink. But you can't squeeze it into tea. Okay? The hat sharud, what is sharud? Somebody come up with English here.
Horse.
Oh, good. Mutar lo ligmoa beitza chaya. Gross. You can drink a raw egg. What? Sylvester Stallone. You never saw Rocky?
I recommend it.
Why? What do they say nowadays? Hasovel mitzarevet. Someone who suffers from heartburn. Oh, mutar lo ligmoa kol ma'achal samin. Kegon chema. Chalad ubeitza. So if you are suffering from heartburn, you can eat a food which has a soothing effect, like butter, milk, or an egg.
What if you flush it?
But about Asur Lo Listo to Misad Soda, you can't drink Alka-Seltzer. That's medicinal. But Misad had a chak, if it's a pressing need, Yeshu smoke ala mekilim li smoke to Misad Soda. Some say you can drink bicarbonate of soda, but when? Imam Nahu Chnami Ba'od Yom, if it's prepared before Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Now, what is bicarbonate of soda? Does anybody know what it is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's seltzer.
Highly carbonated seltzer. That's all it is. You know, all it does is
water.
All it does is make you burp.
Exactly. So you prepare before Shabbos, all the effervescence is going out.
Right. So then what's a good way of taking care of this?
Drink
a lot of seltzer.
Yeah,
it took a lot of seltzer.
It's
yeah.
all sort of base that neutralizes the stomach.
Right.
Yes.
Correct. So there are ways of getting around that. But you're talking about mild heartburn, not acid reflux. Even acid reflux, you're not in danger. You're just uncomfortable. I would recommend something else, by the way, to alleviate that problem. Eat less food.
Yeah, that's true.
Take a walk after. Don't lay down right after.
Yeah, take a walk after. But that eating less food is really controversial on Shabbos. People don't like hearing that. But it's just interesting to me. I my new doctor was yelling at me. He said, "You Orthodox?" He was right about that. He said, "You focus so much on food."
Yeah.
You know, the thing about it, and the reason I did this is because he yelled at me because I'm not as skinny as I should be.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. What do? We come to Shul, and then you go have a kiddush. Okay, don't get me wrong, but if you have a challenge and kugel at a kiddush, that's a meal.
Yeah.
And then then we go home and we eat our meal.
Yeah.
You're looking at me shocked.
No, I'm supposed to go home.
I don't know. You are, right.
Who eats non-Shabbos has no calories.
Yeah, that's what they say.
What time is
right, and then tomorrow you have another meal. Now, for people like me, I don't eat breakfast on Shabbos morning, so I can have that meal and then a meal. But for those people who have, a little cake and some fruit on Shabbos morning, so that's meal number like 5 or 6. It depends on what kind of food do we serve. The heaviest, fattiest,
Yeah.
Okay, you live farther than I do.
Red wine.
Right. Okay. Well, the red wine is good for you. Okay.
You forget about everything.
Okay, so that's considered. Okay, that's considered derech bri'im. Derech bri'im. So we have the term of cholesh. We have the term, of mechus be'alma. A mechus be'alma is only permitted to do what's called derech bri'im. Okay. There's another kula also. There's another leniency as well. We'll get to. Okay. Imki. Okay. If that's true, that a koev kaev kal asur lo lekachas shum tufa b'Shabbos. They're only not allowed to take any medicine on Shabbos, like we said. Hare isiro eno ela im lo kabe derech harigila b'yamot hachol. It's only forbidden if it's taken in the normal way that you would take it during the weekday. So how would I take my Motrin? What's the normal way for me to take a Motrin?
Swallow it.
Take out my pill and pop it, right? Just take your pill. But, this is a heter. You're going to see it's a cooler, but it's not going to help any of us. Aval, mutar l'arbev mibo'od yom tipot shufa b'mayim o b'mashkeh acher v'listotam b'shabbos. But I'm allowed to take medicine, like our cough medicine or whatever, and mix it before Shabbos, and then I'm allowed to drink it as I normally would on Shabbos. Okay, so let's say I'm taking cough syrup. So if I have a cough...
Wait a minute. So during the week, you get like bronchitis or something?
No, not bronchitis. Bronchitis is a sickness.
Common cold.
Common cold. You have a cough. It's just annoying. Okay? You can go walking around with it. You don't like it. It's a pain in the neck. So you're not allowed to take medicine in the normal way, but you're allowed to, before Shabbos, mix the medicine with the normal food, and then drink that food on Shabbos. You can mix it with your Kiddush wine. And then it'll just take normal anyway. What?
Not anesthetic.
Whatever.
applesauce.
Yes, you could put it in applesauce and do it that way. And then you could eat it the normal way. You could crush it and put it in applesauce. But here's the trick. You had to have done it before Shabbos. You're not allowed to mix it on Shabbos and then eat it the abnormal way. Yes, you have to know before Shabbos you're going to have a headache. Exactly right. So for most of the time, it doesn't help you. Because if you don't know, you're going to have a headache from before Shabbos. Because if you knew, you would have taken medicine before Shabbos.
That's it.
If you, what?
Something that's like what to start with. Like.
Even so, you're not allowed to mix it on Shabbos.
No, take a spoonful of it.
No. That's the normal way. No, it doesn't matter. It's a normal way. Anything that's a normal way of thinking, what is not permitted? Okay. Skip to number 6. Vav. Hachash b'rosho, someone who is chash b'rosho, let's see, someone has a headache. No, it's number 6.
Yeah.
A slight toothache? Number 6?
Another could be a slight toothache.
6. Where's 6? Where's another headache? Yeah. I'm sorry about the tabs, but if you notice in the English one, it's like all a little bit off. So I really apologize for that, but I used the scanning, the OCR software, because I wasn't about to type all this in myself. Okay? A person who has a headache, and he's walking around like he's fine. So he doesn't have a temperature. You know, she says this twice. Why do you think he says it twice? Right, because most people, it's hard to relate to. It really is something hard to relate to. You're telling me I have to walk around, I have to have a headache all Shabbos? The answer is, yeah. Unfortunately, that's the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan against taking medicines. It's a discomfort, but the rabbis are not putting you in any danger whatsoever. A headache is a totally normal thing, and if it got so bad that you got to the point where you had to lie down, then you could take something. Okay. The imargish she'ilo yachol la'mol al-raglav. But if it really is to the point you can't stand up anymore, or you feel you have a temperature, then right? So as soon as you think, I got a temperature. So myself, I know when I get very flushed, I know I have a temperature. So as soon as you have a temperature, then it's kol gufo, it's your whole body, there you go. Then you have the heter, you're allowed to take your Motrin and to bring the temperature down to get rid of the headache. Number page 2. The reason I think I scanned all this in, I think it's important to go through piece by piece because all these cases do come up and it's important to be specific in these cases. If your tooth hurts, you can't take medicine to make it feel better. You can take a sharp drink like whiskey, sure. Again, you see this term, b'nei adam bri'im listoto. Healthy people drink that stuff. I don't know if they're so healthy, but okay. Come on, brandy, like brandy. You see the Hebrew word? What's the Hebrew word for brandy?
Brandy.
Oh, yayin saraf, or yayin saraf. What's yayin saraf? Or brandy, or whiskey, right? Distilled drinks they call them, right? Distilled or whatever. Okay. The yakil ligmor to mashkeh, but swallow it in once. The lo bistoto et hapeh, for shuv l'hafrito. Don't swish around with it. Oh, if you're a drinker, what? No good drinker would swish around anyway. Right. Okay. Okay. Again, the imhu sovel mikav shinayim. If it's such a toothache, I say mitzta'er harbei v'nechalash kol gufo. It's really bad. Oh. Like you're really in agony, then you are permitted to take the medicine to alleviate the pain. If it's great need, if it's really tremendous pain, you can go to a non-Jewish doctor who can pull the tooth. Because you're doing amira l'nachri, which is a dindu rabbanan, and that dindu rabbanan, since it's a chole kol gufro, one is permitted to do amira l'nachri, amira l'akum, they ask a non-Jew to violate the principle of Shabbos for you on the Shabbos. You couldn't ask a Jewish doctor to pull the tooth.
No.
Only a non-Jewish doctor.
Wouldn't that be a danger because...
Nah, pull the tooth.
Yeah, because you can have an infection and it can get really dangerous.
How long?
No.
How long would it take? I mean, how long would it take an infected tooth to get dangerous?
I don't know. How long would an abscess take to get dangerous?
So if you're going to the dentist and you haven't been to the dentist in 8 years, and you know, and you've been walking around with this pain for like 3 months, and he goes to you and says, you got to go to the hospital, right? Okay, then he can pull the tooth. But if it hurts a lot, you know, he's going to, you're not talking about that, okay? No, he says, interesting enough, if there's a danger, why? Because riboy hamigula, because of the great exposure, right? There's the presence of large amounts of pus. Yikayit miyad beropay kedad mala asot. Go to the doctor, right? So I think the general rule is, when in doubt,
go to the doctor.
Call your doctor, right? I'd be surprised though. What? You go to your doctor, okay? Hakoev keev tal beinayim. Your eyes hurt you a little bit. That's ched. I mean, number 8. You cannot put eye drops in. Okay, you could flush your eyes out with water, but putting eye drops in is medicinal. What do I have? Do I have eye drops? Let me see. No, this is not eye drops. What is this? Also, never put nose drops in your eyes.
Don't put that in
never.
Your eyes. Never. Ever.
Looks
right. You know, it can be the same. It looks like the container.
Oh, my Lord.
What about saline?
Saline, again, saline, no. No.
Or is it salt water?
I know, but it's salt water you're using. People do it for medicinal purposes.
No,
it's, again, the same thing.
In their contacts.
Oh, you're talking about putting your contacts.
No.
I think that that's permitted. That would be Darth Korean. That's a normal person does it to put in their eyes.
Yeah,
but I'm saying, so there's a difference, though. One would normally put saline on their contacts.
Right.
You don't put it in your eyes. You put it on your contacts. Oh. Right?
No, but you also have something called re-wetting
contacts. When it gets, like, dry, you can put it, like, on your eyes.
I don't know. I can't tell if that's my head. I don't know.
Also, there are people who have a condition where the eyes are dry and they have.
Ah, that's an ongoing condition. Okay, so I'm not talking about ongoing condition.
Oh, no, that's true. That's right. That's
okay.
Question.
What?
No, because
I just want to tell you that the halacha was much more attentive to eye issues, because the rabbis felt strongly that the eyes, I guess, were the gateway to the head or whatever, and if you had an eye infection of some sort, that it should be dealt with immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to know, and you're allowed to do different things to take care of the eyes. Okay? See, look at the bottom of Chet. I'm going to skip to the bottom. I can't read all of this. Machalot einayim rutiniyot, serious eye injury, serious eye ailments, harehem begera pikuach nefesh. In the halacha, they're considered the level of pikuach nefesh, life endangerment. So see what I meant, the doctor, I have a doctor in another shiur who says very often, nowadays, the eye ailments are not considered life-threatening. So, you know, pikuach nefesh, you violate the Shabbos for them.
But the Gemara
says so, he's saying, but in medicine they don't treat them that way.
Yeah,
if you call the doctor with a certain ailment, you say, doctor, I have pink eye, he's not going to rush you to the hospital.
No, they'll bring you in right away.
That's what I understand that, but I'm saying to you, in the times of the Gemara and even in the Shulchan Aruch, and you see brought down here also, they can treat the eyes very, very seriously. Whereas, so the question comes up, I raised this before, what do you do when the medical establishment doesn't treat an ailment as seriously as halacha does? And the answer is you follow the halacha.
Shmuel says, there's, you know, they go to the heart, which is the heart, the vagus nerve.
Right.
Goes from the eye.
Right, okay. Right.
So it actually is a danger to life.
Okay, skip to yours. Skip to number 10. Okay, good. Hashava mi nazelet. You got a runny nose, or shi'ul, or a cough. Asur lo lasot tzim tipul refuah. Again, you have a cold. This happens all the time. So normally, what a normal person will do is take their Allegra D, which works magic, right? And you'll continue to take it. You know, you just take it and you'll feel better. But you're not allowed to just for a cold. Unless it's a debilitating cold, in which is really, you know, you feel miserable. If it's just a sore, you know, a runny nose and a cough or whatever, or allergies, regular seasonal allergies, one would not be permitted to take it. Now, I used to be, for some reason, my grandfather lived in Miami Beach. Okay, there's a big synagogue in Miami Beach called Beth Israel. Anybody ever been to Beth Israel, Miami Beach, big white show? I had violent allergic reactions to that show. I don't know. I promise you, I wasn't that cold. There's got to be something in the show.
Yeah.
I would walk into that show. I could not stop sneezing. I could not. So you know what my HO was? I stopped going there. I felt better. I figured it out.
Could you wear a particle mask?
Yeah, you could wear a mask. Sure.
What is better than having your costume and your
goblin? No. You know, I understand that you got the idea of oneg, you know, all those things. You're going to have a bad Shabbos. You are. It's not going to be pleasant having a cold over Shabbos. So what's your answer? You know, drink a lot of tea, you know, and blow your nose and do the best that you can. Yeah, a person in my situation, it's even more difficult. If I have a cold, it's hard to talk. It's very hard to talk. It's much, you know, you're stuffed up and all that kind of stuff. So maybe you guys will get out of the speech now that we learned how to stop. Okay. Okay, or could go on the end of the top line in Yud. Lishtamesh betipos, ah, nose drops, linsom adin. He says even to take deep rest because you're doing it for your health. Because I don't know anybody who can snort out their okay, whatever. Okay, or lishtamesh be inhaler. See the Hebrew word for inhaler? Inhaler. That's inhaler, right? So use an inhaler, meaning if you have, let's say for example, I have one of these things. This is called Rhinocort, right? The doctors tell you. But what is this for, Rhinocort? I have a Nasal congestion.
Yeah.
So how do they tell you? They take, tell you to take it all the time, every day.
Yeah.
Right? But it's only to alleviate a condition. It's not to alleviate any serious medical ailment. It's just to make you feel better. So that would be mechos ba'alma. So you would not be permitted to take that on Shabbos. What? Even if it's daily. Right, the permission, there's a general, we'll get to this in a second. There's a general understanding that one is permitted to take something that you take on a regular basis as a regimen. But it is not all-encompassing. It really is a misconception.
So why is it vitamin or...
We're going to talk about vitamins. Vitamins we'll talk about in a second. Okay? But like this. You can take this every day, or this I take every day. Right? You're supposed to snot once a day.
On Shabbos,
you're not supposed to. Because I'm not alleviating a specific ailment. On the other hand, I have a thyroid condition. We all know, the world will know my medical condition, right? I have what's called Hashimoto's thyroiditis, for which you take some thyroid replacement hormone. That you take on a daily basis. And you have to, because to skip every seventh day will be detrimental to your health over the long period.
Mm-hmm.
So that a person is permitted to take on an ongoing basis.
How is a chronic med like
blood pressure? Oh, obviously, any chronic medication you have to take because of a serious illness or an ailment, blood pressure, diabetes. Oh, like he said. So, we'll talk to that in a second. But
the aspirin that the internist says I should take. What's the aspirin
that I take? Yeah, I take an 81.
Excellent. Excellent. Rabbi Ribbian writes the following, and this is brought down the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, what?
Because of blood
thinner. Somebody who has salicylic acid does a lot of different things. They don't know why.
He writes the following. Very good. The other permissibility, the other thing that one is permitted to do, there's derech bri'im from Eichas Ba'amah, and also what he calls preventative therapy. I'll read to you what he says. As a rule, only positive progressive medical therapy is restricted. Preventative therapy is permitted on Shabbos even with the use of medications.
Mm-hmm.
Why? The Shulchan Aruch says the following. Because a person is permitted to take something that will retain his health, because when you're... The example was the following. If I was in the times of the Gemara, we were afraid a person got a headache. So what's he going to do? The headache is just annoying him. So without thinking, he's going to go and grind up his...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What powder do you grind up in order for headache? What? What is it? Salicylic acid. You're going to grind up your salicylates, right? And you're going to do it. So therefore, they were afraid. They made that gzeira of taking the medicine so that you wouldn't, in your confusion or in your rush, grind the medicine up. But they never were goes there. The rabbis never decree you're doing something preventatively. Because if you're preventative, you're not feeling sick now. So therefore, I'm not going to be in a rush. I'm not going to be in confusion. And I'm not going to go ahead and grind. So that's why he said, that this is what the Mishnah Berurah explains. Therefore, because a person is not as anxious over the possibility of contracting a minor ailment as he is while he's suffering with that ailment. Everybody hates that runny nose. But if I think I'm preventing my runny nose from coming, that would be permitted. Therefore, he says, preventative therapy is permissible if it does not strengthen and improve your physical condition in any way. Sounds to me like your aspirin would be exactly that. You're taking the aspirin in order to prevent some ailment from coming, but you're not doing it because you have a headache or anything like that. Side benefit might be that you're not going to get a headache. Yeah. One may take an antacid to prevent an anticipated attack of heartburn. One may take a tablet to prevent the onset of a severe migraine headache. So, he says severe migraine. I'm not sure why he says that. But it sounds like you can take a Tums before the challenge. But you can't take a right, like Pepsin. You want to do that, Pepsin? Now, personally, I have a problem with this whole industry of take a pill so that you can pig out.
Right.
Exactly. There's an ethical problem there somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. But
I have that with a lot of things. Like they say, there's this medication you can take if you have a hangover, to prevent hangover.
I don't usually watch the Weather Channel. Riveting. Riveting.
I don't like to watch any other news.
Right.
It's scary. It's
really
scary.
You know,
like,
yeah, I was going to say, you do know they watch it all.
Hey, you're dating my sheer.
Weather Channel. If you've had one too many drinks, you can take this medication to prevent a morning hangover. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I think you should stop having so many drinks.
Right.
Yeah, but nobody really cares what you're concerned about. You know what I mean? They want to drink. Okay. So I'm going to skip to 17 because we're going to get off of that. And it's important to know because in the case where someone is ordered by the doctor to take medication for several consecutive days, Shabbos included, there are authorities who take a lenient approach and permit the taking of this medicine on Shabbos too, even though failure to do so would not lead to the situation referred to in the previous paragraph being very, very dangerous. So let's say, but the example given is the following. You have bronchitis, so the doctor gives you a regimen of antibiotics. Now, just as a medical rule, doctors are going away from that for one very simple reason. Will the pharmacist like to tell us? Why are they going away from 10-day dosages?
Coming in.
Correct. People do not take them for 10 days. So now what they do is they'll give you 3 days, right, to try to get you to, right, the Z-Pak for 3. So, but in general, if you have a 10-day regimen, one would be permitted to take that medication over the 10-day regimen. But if someone's taking medication for acne or some condition like that, you can't say, well, since I'm taking it over an extended period of time, and therefore I can continue to take it on Shabbos. That is not permitted. It's probably not a good idea to take antibiotics for acne anyway. But aside from that, like my nasal spray or anything like that, if it's not a condition that would otherwise cause you to be sick, if you're not taking it to alleviate a sickness condition, you would not be able to take it on Shabbos. Okay, we ran out of time. Vitamins is a usual question. One is permitted to take, Rabbi Feinstein writes, one is permitted to take vitamins if they are when you are healthy. But if you're sick and your doctor was telling you to take vitamins to rejuvenate yourself, then they would be considered like medication. Okay? I would say, what are prenatal vitamins? Prenatal vitamins, I think, are to maintain health.
Right.
Maintain health. So one would be permitted to do that. One is also not permitted to exercise on Shabbos. You can't go running. Sorry, no running on Shabbos because, again, you do that to improve your person's health.
So
that's considered forbidden.
If you have a back pain or something,
what?
You have to do it, even to go to services.
You mean you need to take to do specific exercises?
I love exercising, but I do it on Sabbath. I don't do strengthening,
stretches
and lighter. Yeah, so...
So otherwise you couldn't walk to show on Shabbos?
Well, I could walk, but I mean all that sitting for long periods of time and...
I don't know. I'd have to look that up. I'd have to really investigate that because you're really on a... It's an interesting case. You're in a great line. Okay, this includes semester number one of Hands-On Halakha Hilchos Shabbos. We will continue this next semester because I've actually enjoyed it quite a lot. And it's been very, very, you know, informative and educational. I hope not just for you, but I'm telling you, it's for me also. You know, it's good that you guys are forcing me to really investigate all these difficult questions and to get a better handle on it because that's pretty much my job. So next semester we begin at the beginning of January. It's like January 5th or something. And we're going to continue with this sickness. And we're going to talk about chole she'en bo sakana. What happens if somebody is sick? What the halachas are that? Those are, and some other halachas in that area. We'll do medicine class number 3 and wrap up medicine at the beginning of next term. Have a good night, everybody, and enjoy your winter vacation if you have that.
And don't get